Welcome to Hope Chapel. You're about to listen to Nick Reske.
Last week, I got a phone call, this week actually, from Andrew saying, hey, could you come and preach? And so we had the calendar to free, and so it was great to be able to be here. And he was telling me, I said, what's your theme for next year? I always ask pastors that. I love hearing what the pastors' hearts are for the church. And he said, well, actually, we launched it on Sunday, and it was Run the Race. How many of you think that's a great theme to have? And particularly the two pillars that I believe he's going to look at is discipleship and evangelism. And I was really thrilled to hear that because since the pandemic, and sorry to bring that up again, 2020, the pandemic, the pandemic was a shaking. And that shaking was something that was felt globally. And you know, when God shakes something, it's not because he's trying to harm us, but he uses it to shift something in our lives. And it's really interesting, the shifts that I was able to observe over the last, 4 or 5 years as we've come into the decade. The interesting thing about those shifts was that that shaking was that it happened at the beginning of a decade. Now we're halfway in, we're just about to enter into the latter part of the decade, and we're just starting to get our head around what some of those shifts have been. And it's really interesting that there's about 4 or 5, I'm only going to touch on 2 of them very, very quickly because they're actually your theme. One of them has been the shift from just gathering people to discipling people. Discipleship has become a global focus for the church. And whatever you listen to, wherever you go around the world, you can see there's been a huge shift to the church to get back to discipleship. Aren't you glad about that? Because that's about following Jesus. We're not here just to be believers, but we're here to be followers of Christ. The other shift is actually evangelism. And the shift that is happening there is not just about event evangelism. Now, let me just say this. I am so thankful that you guys are putting on the Night of Hope. I think that is phenomenal. And you should continue to do events and invite people because the gospel is invitational. We shouldn't just invite, we should bring people, but, we need to understand that gatherings are really important. But one of the shifts that's happening, and we're not throwing the baby out with the bathwater, is that event evangelism, which has been something that the church has become better at, is really good, but there's another part of evangelism, it's called lifestyle evangelism, that me and you are the evangelists. Can you give me an amen for that? Me and you need to take on the mantle of evangelism. Do you know God's biggest agenda, his greatest agenda is people? It's people. And, sometimes I think we forget that. The thing about evangelism is this, that I can't believe God's entrusted his love and his purpose to us. I just wonder if we're good ambassadors. And I just wonder if sometimes we forget what it's all about. Today's message, I'm not sure you're going to enjoy it. Might unsettle you, might shake you up a little bit, maybe shift you a little bit. I enjoy preaching this message, but boy, it's a challenge to live. Sometimes it's easier to preach messages, but boy, they're a challenge to live. And the title of this message is called Others' Awareness. Are you aware of others? Because I'm definitely aware of myself as I'm getting older. I've become more aware of what I want and what I need. But are we aware of others? This message was birthed years ago, and I do preach it. I really feel like sometimes I need to preach it twice a year as a reminder of what our purpose is about, because sometimes I think we forget. But it was birthed out of a TV series that my wife and I watched, and it was called Filthy Rich and Homeless. Who remembers it? Did anybody watch it? Filthy Rich and Homeless. And they took about 4 or 6 really rich people in Australia, and they said, would you like to be involved in a project where we take away all of your identity, your money. We take away your credit cards. We change the clothes you wear. And we put you on the street for 2 weeks without anything. We want you to experience homelessness. How many of you think that's a great idea to have that experience, you know? And we watched it and it just captivated us. I mean, you know, it was a series. Now, my wife's very practical. When she gets stirred in her heart and God stirs her heart, she does something about it. You know, sometimes I just hear it and it just goes right over my head. And I think, yeah, that was great. But she actually decided that we were going to do something about it. Now, we lived in the UK for a period of time. And in the UK, when you go to Europe, one of the things that when I would go out with some of my mates that would take me around to see different parts of particularly England, where we lived for over a year, they said, don't give to the beggars on the street, because a lot of them are professional beggars. And one of them in particular showed me a pattern. I thought, you've got to be joking. Because, you know, we had not really seen it to that level, even though we are seeing it in Australia like never before. I don't know if you've gone around the parklands of Adelaide. There's a lot of tents up. There are homeless people. There's about 130,000 people in Australia at the moment that are actually homeless. 130,000. And what this program did, it changed, it shifted something in our attitude towards the homeless. Meredith, so much so, she said this, you know, one of the things that you've got to be wise is not to give money, but maybe how can you help them in a practical way? So she put together, and we kept bumping into homeless people, but our attitude was like, no, we're walking past because they're most probably professional beggars. Right. Anyway, so she made these boxes of food, non-perishable. And she got one box for me and put it in my car. She got another box for her and put it in her car. You know, since the moment we did that, we could not find a homeless person. I was like, what? Come on, God, we're responding, you know, to this pull of the Holy Spirit. Nothing. Couldn't find a homeless, couldn't buy a homeless person. Anyway, so I'm at this period of time, we're living in Melbourne. And I had to drive. I was overseeing these five campuses, and I had to drive to Bendigo, which was a two and a half hour drive from actually Melbourne. On the way back, I got hungry, and I remembered that I had some non-perishables in the back, and I thought, I feel a bit homeless at the moment, so I ate it myself, and that was it. That was about the only time we jolly used those packages. I know it's not a great thing to do, but that's what happened. But, you know, what happened out of that experience was all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just prompted me to become others aware. How others aware are we? See a little baby. What a cutie. He's got more hair than I jolly have. Beautiful. You didn't call him Nick, did you? Yeah, that's right. You know, the Bible says in Philippians 2:4, it says, each of you should not only look to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. You know, I can't believe that, you know, we live in such a busy world. And with all the technology that we have, you'd think that we'd be better connected. We've seen the law change for under 16-year-olds and how that's panning itself out. But, you know, with all the technology and all the ability to become better connectors, we've actually become worse. We've actually become an isolated society. I call it the Seinfeld society. Actually, now we're building more one-bedroom and two-bedroom apartments because we can't live with each other. And when you look at the sitcoms of the 1970s and 80s, that were very popular, like Friends and like Seinfeld, here were people that literally, particularly in Seinfeld, which is a really scary show if you look at the philosophy behind it, funny show, but it was these people that wanted friends, but they couldn't live with each other. And we're sort of going down that track, and loneliness now has become an epidemic. Now, you might not have experienced it or don't experience that, but let me tell you that loneliness is an epidemic. Now, my mother is in a care home. She's 90, she's going to be 91 in February. and she's louder than ever. You know, you sort of think when people get older that they'd lose some strength in her voice. She is louder than ever. And she gives everybody commands. You need to do this. You haven't done this right. You need to do that. She's incredible. And I visit her about 3 times a week. And she's in a really lovely place. But I'm amazed at how many lonely people are in those places where a lot of them don't even get visitors. And it's opened up a world that I have not really been aware of. And that's not the only world. I was talking to a friend of ours the other day, who's again getting more into her senior years. And, you know, for Christmas, let me just sidetrack. For Christmas, some people for Christmas is a nightmare. It's not a joyful occasion. They're disconnected from loved ones. Sometimes they sit and have Christmas by themselves. And we were just talking to this friend, and she told us how lonely she was. She's never experienced loneliness to that. You know, in the dictionary, the Noah Webster dictionary, there's 113 words on the word self. 113 words on self. We are such a self-orientated society. And this morning, I just want to ask you 2 questions that I hope will shift some of your thinking or remind you about what Christmas is all about, but what Christianity is actually all about. It's about others. And I hope it encourages you, but I hope it challenges you during this period of time, and I hope it goes beyond this period. And that's why I think we should be reminded every month, we should be reminded about others. And this is not about trying to create more work. Some of you are going, Pastor, we're already busy. I think some of our busyness is more self-orientated and brings us into striving. I think we live in such a blessed country that our busyness is really created more about our selfishness. And if we actually got some of our priorities right, we'd alleviate stress to a greater degree. But I just wonder the heartbeat of God. And I just wonder, as we sit around different tables, as we have different celebrations, that in every crowd, there's someone that God is trying to reach. Today, there are individuals sitting here, that you might be sitting in a group of people, but the heart of God is to reach you as an individual. And so let me just ask you 2 questions today and hope they will probe your heart to think outside the box. And I'm not here, this is why I said before, this is a challenge to live, because I'm not here preaching at you. It's a reminder to myself, and I need just as much reminding as you do, because, you know, sometimes I get caught up in my own package. So here's the first question. Are you ready? Do you hear or do you listen? Do you hear or do you listen? There's a man in the Bible in Mark chapter 10. His name was blind Bartimaeus. And I don't think the scripture's up there, but not the page. Let me read it to you. And this man was blind by birth. And so he had never been able to experience what we experience, those of us that can see, experience. And he had become a beggar. He was a beggar. And he carried the garment of a beggar. Everybody knew him. Everybody heard him. Everybody heard his cries. And he had heard about Jesus, the miracle worker. And let me read the story. It's found in Mark 10, 46 to 52. It says this: Then they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd. Jesus was always in large crowds. Always. And they were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, was sitting by the road begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. But many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But the more they told him to be quiet, the more he shouted, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man and said, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you, Jesus? It's like, really, Jesus? Can't you see I'm blind? The blind man said, Father, I would that I would see. And Jesus says, go, your faith has made you well. Here's the thought. Many people heard him. Not many people listened to him. It's amazing there's a difference. We hear a lot of things. A lot of it's white noise. But do we actually listen? And there's some people in our world that God brings us to strategically and with purpose, and we hear them, but we don't really listen. Now, as a married person of 42 years, coming on 43, I got the signal over there just so I got it right. I've learned an art. My wife loves to talk, and she's a writer. One of the reasons she's an author is because sometimes I don't listen to her, so she goes and writes things. But yeah, I've learned an art as a husband. I'm sorry, guys, to give this away, but I've learned to be able to look at her and totally switch off. Jackson, you went really quickly, and you haven't been married as long as me. But you learn this thing, don't you, Ben? You learn this thing where you just glaze over and you just look at her, but you're not really listening. Who knows what I'm talking about, ladies? Who knows? I've just let the cat out the bag. And there's people pointing at their... I've just created a huge, huge... We're going to have forgiveness and a healing altar call after. Forgiveness of... And she says to me, she goes, you're not listening to me, are you? I said, yeah, no, I heard. She goes, tell me what I've been saying. Sometimes she actually grabs me by the chin. She goes, listen to me when I'm talking to you. You being there? Yeah. Bless this child, Lord. But isn't it amazing how we can just switch it? Do you know we do that when people are really crying out for help? And these are some of the things that I've noticed is that your friends, the people that you call friends, the reason they're your friends is because they listen to you. They don't just hear you. There's something deep about friendships because they listen to your heart. That's why they're your friends. That's why there's an incredible connection that happens when you actually listen and don't just hear. You know what makes a great counselor? A great listener. Someone who actually listens to you and can hear behind what's actually being said. And, you know, we've got the Holy Spirit. He's the greatest evangelist. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit, when we're sensitive to him, we're in tune with him, he listens to the cries. People, just like Jesus here, people get familiar, have become familiar with blind Bartimaeus. Isn't it amazing? Jesus was walking through the city. He was already going on another task, on another mission. He just didn't hear blind Bartimaeus like everybody else had. He actually listened to him. What an incredible example here. You know, my son David, he's our second child. When he was a little tacker, I think he was about three or four, something like that, he used to love, this is how old I am, we didn't have remote controls in those days, young people, there you go, and he used to go to the television and, you know, get the TV switch and he'd switch it on and off, on and off, on and off. How many of you know you blow a tube like that? And so, you know, we used to, you know, put him in the corner and smack his little hand and all sorts of things to try and stop him. And one day, as we're walking past, he saw us with a corner of his eye and he'd got his little teddy bear, Edward, got his paw and was using Edward's paw to switch the TV on and off. Now, how many of you know that he heard us, but he didn't listen to us? How many of you know that we're a little bit like that with God sometimes? We hear, but we don't listen. This is what I found about some of the things about people that are hurting. People in pain make a lot of noise. Don't be surprised when you meet someone, this person that we were with this week, she makes a lot of noise. It's loud noise. And sometimes you just feel like, just switch it off. But if you listen beyond the noise, you hear the heart. Don't run away just because someone is making noise. People in pain want to be listened to and not just heard. People in pain, please hear this, people in pain start to heal when you start to listen. Did you know that? When you start to listen, people actually are opening up their heart for you to be used by the Holy Spirit to sow words of hope and encouragement in their lives. Now, I want to tell you this story, and I'm not telling you this story to go, hey, wow, look at me. Because, man, I just like you, I struggle. You know, I am a bit of an introvert. I like my own space. And usually if I hear noise or there's situations, I'll usually back away from them. Now, we need to be sensitive because the first person we need to listen to is the Holy Spirit. Not just hear his voice, but when he speaks to us, because he does. And I guarantee you that even this week, as you will be reminded of this message, because even this week, as you go and do your daily chores and do what you have to do, go out for coffee, all of a sudden there's going to become an opportunity, and the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you about an opportunity that is just about to happen. And this happened to me a few years ago. I was in my office. I really used to like my office. And as I'm sort of just getting on with trying to plan the week out for the church, the Holy Spirit speaks to me. Now, I've been saved since I was 11 years old, got filled with the Holy Spirit since I was 11. I know the voice of the Holy Spirit just like I know my wife's voice. I don't even have to know her voice. I know her look. That's why I'm not looking there right now. I know her look, but I know her voice. Because I've been married for 42 years, 43 in January the 8th. It's coming. And I know not just her look, but I know her voice. You could put 20 ladies in front of me. You could blindfold me. You could put her somewhere in the group, and I could come to each one, and I would know my wife's voice. Aren't you glad God knows our voice? He knows your voice. And the Holy Spirit speaks to us, and I know his voice. And he spoke to me. And at the time, we were living in Melbourne, and in where our church was, there was commercial property, there was businesses, but there was also shopping opportunities. There was a DFO, Direct Factory Outlet. And I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, I want you to go to the DFO. Now, I don't get it. I thought, maybe the Holy Spirit likes shopping. You know, I don't know what it is, you know, but I really felt to go to the DFO. And there was such a strong prompting in my spirit that I got one of my staff, didn't tell him what I was sensing. I said, hey, come on. It was nearly lunchtime. I said, let's go to the DFO. He goes, no, I'm too busy. He was our teaching pastor. And I said, look, shut your books. I'm your boss. Come with me. We're going. So we went for a walk in the DFO. And he said, what are you looking for? And I said, look, I'm not really looking for anything. I didn't tell him what I was sensing. And the DFO was like a horseshoe. And so it's like I started at this particular store and then I kept going around and I kept walking into places and just talking to people and just having some conversations. Nothing was really happening. And then just as we're getting to the end of the horseshoe, we walked into this men's store and this young this young man came sort of, you know, galloping towards us. He was a salesman. You could tell he was a salesman, and he was really switched on. And he quickly connected with us. His personality was very much one of a salesman. Started connecting with, hey, guys, how are you doing? Great to see you. Where are you from? What are you doing? So on and so on. And he was Greek. Me being Italian, I said, oh, you're European. Where are you from? He says, oh, I'm Greek. I said, oh, missed it. You nearly made it. You know, the Italians are God's chosen people. But anyway, we leave it at that. So anyway, as I'm, you know, just engaging with him, so where are you guys from? He asked me. He was really chatty. He was open. We were laughing. And he goes, well, actually, there's a church across the car park here. He says, yeah, I see that church. He said, well, we're actually ministers. And with that, his whole demeanor just changed. And from this buoyant, open person, all of a sudden he became very closed. Now, how many of you know that sales reps aren't supposed to do that? They're supposed to keep you engaged. And as, you know, I said, hey, what's up? He goes, I'm angry at God. And all of a sudden I knew why I was there. All of a sudden, it would have been easier to just walk off. But, you know, I listened. He said, I'm angry at God. He says, I prayed to him for years and years and years to heal my mother, and he took her. And she was the closest things to my heart. Why did he do that? Now, how do you answer a question like that in a store? How do you do that? Thank God the Holy Spirit gives us wisdom. Can I say this to you? If the Holy Spirit prompts you, because he's the greatest evangelist, he will give you the wisdom for the situation. He will give you the wisdom for the situation. And so what happened is I said to him, buddy, this is a long conversation. You're hurting. I can see you're in pain. I said, but you know what? I'd love to talk to you about it. I'd love to talk to you about this conflict in your heart that has made you so sad and upset. Now, here's the thing. In my man bag, yes, I have a man bag. It's a generational thing. You guys will understand it. I always carry, you know, my business cards. Always. Not because I'm trying to, I've got nothing to promote except God, but to give people opportunity. And I've always done it. And I took out one of my cards and I said, look, if you want to, there's my number. It's my mobile. Please feel free to ring me. Do you know, usually you walk away from those places and think, well, that's never going to happen again. I didn't buy anything from him, so I thought, well, he's not going to want to call me. But you know, about 4 days later, guess what happened? I got this phone call from this young man called Steve. And Steve said, can I come and see you? I said, absolutely, of course you can. We made a time. He came to see me. And then he kept seeing me for the next 2 years. I couldn't believe it. He had a, I can tell you this story, and I'll tell you why in a minute, but he had such a broken heart, bad relationship with his dad, had so much pain, and when his mum died, he felt like his whole world fell apart. And while in the 2 years discussions that we were having, we had some very, very deep discussions, his heart began to open. We then moved back to Adelaide, and Steve kept in touch. But here's the funny thing, he never came to church. I mean, he came to the office, but he never came on a Sunday. Never came. And, can I just say this? Our job is not to try and save people. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Our job is to be ambassadors and represent the heartbeat of God. And we came back to Adelaide. And I'm actually preaching and in Bendigo this particular Sunday, and I get this text from Steve saying, hey, Nick, you're not going to believe where I'm going today. Because since when I left, he kept bumping into Christians. Isn't it funny how, aren't you glad that God never gives up on people? Never gives up. And you might only be the signpost along the way. You might only be one who sows a seed. It's the Holy Spirit that brings people. He draws them. He loves them. And he goes, you wouldn't believe where I'm going today. I'm going to a church called Planet Shakers with a friend I've just met. I'm thinking, you little rascal, for 2 years you wouldn't even come to the church. That Sunday he gave his life to Jesus Christ. Now, you know, I was so thrilled. I was a little bit ticked because he never came to our church. 2 years ago, I had the incredible privilege of having him sit on the front row of our church. He heard I was coming and he said, I'd love to catch up. Do you know what an incredible joy that was? Can I just say this? Don't just hear. Listen. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit that prompts you. And sometimes we wave it off. We shake it off. There's a shift that is happening. One of the great shifts is there's a greater connection with the body, with the Holy Spirit. And we need to be founded and grounded in the Word, but we need to be led by the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, can I say this, speaks to us about His purpose. He speaks to us about people. And I just pray that this week, and I just know you're going to get opportunities. And when that happens, if you step out in faith, God will give you the wisdom and the know-how of how to handle that situation. Here's the second question very, very quickly. Are you okay with this? You're a little bit quiet. That's because you're listening. Do you look or do you see? Do you look or do you see? Another great story. Zacchaeus, just before I read it to you, which is in Luke 19, I find that women, they seem to see things that us men don't see as well. My youth pastor at the time when we were living in Melbourne, we were on, you know, we were trying to build our building and we were in transition, we were in different schools and we're in this particular school and we had, you know, some of our stuff stored. And it was Christmas time, and I sent him to look for our Christmas tree. Our budget was really tight. And I said, Charles, could you go and find the Christmas tree? We need to set it up. After about half an hour, he came back and said, Pastor Nick, I have looked everywhere, and I have not been able to find it. I think we've lost it in transition. I said, oh, man. So I sent his wife. 5 minutes later, she came back. She said, I found the Christmas tree. Sometimes we look, but we don't see. And I think one of the reasons sometimes we don't see is because of what our focus is on. I just wonder, as we come to this Christmas time, which is more sensitive than most probably Easter and Christmas, as Christians, there's more celebrations, there's more connections. You could be sitting around tables and there's conversations being had, but there's also things that sometimes God wants you to see in the spirit, way beyond in the natural. One of the things that I loved about our children's pastor when we were in Melbourne was I got her up one day to preach and she said, she talked about Jesus and how the disciples were stopping the children from coming to him. And he stopped them and said, no, let the children come because we need to have childlike hearts for the kingdom. And she talked to us as the children's pastor. She said, you know, can I just encourage you as members and as this tribe, as this community who are all responsible to raise up children, we've all got privileges to do that. She says, when you see a child, one of the things that'd be really good is to get down to their level and just talk to children down here because sometimes they get overwhelmed and it really shifted something in my head. I thought, isn't it amazing how she, one of the reasons she was a great Sunday school, great children's pastor, was her ability to connect because she just didn't want to look at the children, she wanted to see them. You know, some of the great childcare centres are the ones where sometimes they just stick our kids in front of a TV they don't really see them. And we live in a society like that, that unfortunately triggers those things. But let's have a look at this story. Jesus, this is in Luke 19, we'll finish soon. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector. In other words, he was hated by his own people. If you've seen The Chosen, you would have seen how fantastic they've woven Matthew's part in as a disciple. But he was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was. He didn't want to just look at Jesus. He wanted to see who he was. But being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. Here again, Jesus is in a crowd. Jesus is always in a crowd. You're always in crowds. People pushing, shoving. Man, you know, we lived near Burnside. Went to Burnside the other day. They've opened up this whole, you know, the whole thing they've opened up there. People pushing, shoving. I hate going shopping because of the queues. I mean, I'm getting more impatient as I get older. I need the fruits of the Spirit. But you're in a queue. You're in crowds. But I just wonder who's in the crowd. One of the reasons I love things about Jesus because he stopped for the individual. He wanted to see who Jesus was because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore fig tree. Now, sycamore fig trees are very significant. They have spiritual significance. It actually talks about salvation. One of the significant things about, or symbolism of a sycamore tree is it talks about salvation. So it's interesting, the tree he climbed. When Jesus, now when I read this, I had to reread it because it really got to me. It says, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up, saw him, and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Here's the thing, number one, that I learned out of the story. Jesus was sensitive to the individual in the crowd. What an incredible thing. The Son of God. Could you imagine the impact? I'm here walking down and all of a sudden just stopping for one person. We're so busy sometimes we can't, but I you know, in the focus of what God wants, let me encourage you that God wants to use us in lifestyle evangelism that becomes everyday part of life. The second thing that I noticed about this is he stopped at the spot. It's like he stopped at this place that he knew was a significant place. So I did a bit of an acrostic thing on the spot, S-P-O-T, a spiritual place of transformation. You know, God gives us spots every once in a while. Places, spiritual places of transformation where God's purpose wants to put his finger on a person in a situation and totally transform it. Here's the other thing that got me. Jesus stopped at the spot and he looked up. Well, I was taught when I was in church, it's a very legalistic church, to look, you look down on sinners. And here we see the look of grace. Man, when I was reading this and I got this revelation that, you know what, we sometimes we look at people, sometimes they're so broken, sometimes we look at them with disgust, sometimes we look at them and think, I'll just go around. There's another story, another parable that Jesus talked about where the Pharisees saw someone that had been beaten and they walked around. Sometimes I do that. He came to the spot and he looked up. When we see people that life has beaten up, that the devil has beaten up, let's not look down on them. Let's look up with the look of grace. And then Jesus said, come down because today I must come to your place. We are very quick, and please don't stop doing this. We're very quick sometimes inviting people into our world, but we don't want to go to their world. Sometimes you need to go to their world to find out their reality. And you can share the love of Jesus there. What an incredible story that we can all learn from. A couple of years ago, it was a Friday night at home. The football was just about to start. I'm a Crows supporter. Have you got any Port Adelaide supporters here? Right. They need salvation. Right. We weren't doing well, but I still wanted to watch them. I wanted to support them. It's Friday night, and it was a bit cool. I said to my wife, I'm going to Coles, and I'm going to buy, some chocolate. Well, actually, I said chips, Coke. She goes, no, don't do it, don't do it. It's not good for you. I said, then I'll buy you chocolate. She said, go, quickly. She loves chocolate. So I went, and I'm in a rush. The game's about to start. I had the night off. I was going to relax, have the chips, have the Coke, have some chocolate. It was going to be a really, really great night, even though, I was really going to drown out my sorrows because I knew we were going to lose. It was during a bad patch. So I get in, get out. My car was parked, and in front of the car was this little wall about this high. And sitting right next to my car was this young lady. And she's sitting there and she looked absolutely miserable. She was emotional. And as I'm walking towards my car, the Holy Spirit starts prompting me. And I'm there, don't look, because you might see. Don't look, don't look. And I'm doing everything I can to avoid her glance and her. How many of you know that the Holy Spirit keeps knocking on the door? And I'm there, Holy Spirit, the football's on. I've got the chips. I've got the Coke. Come on, not tonight. Now, I wish I could say to you, I respond all the time, but I don't. But I did that night. And I opened the car up. My foot was in it. I put the chips in the car, okay, and I'm just about to go. I thought, oh, man, you can't just preach this stuff. You've got to live it. Or else we're just hypocrites, really. So shut the door. Said, look, you look really distressed. Are you okay? She said, look, I've had my boyfriend's left me. I won't tell you everything she told me. It's been a terrible week. I had suicidal thought. I've got no food. I said, look, why don't you grab a trolley? I'll come with you, put whatever you need, and then I'll pay for it. She goes, would you? I said, yeah, of course. Come on, let's help you. If you've had a bad week, let's try and change that for you. So anyway, she got her trolley. She went down the aisles. She starts putting chips in her trolley. I'm going, that's not healthy for you. Why are you? And I'm having a argument in my head, and the Holy Spirit says, but you just bought chips. And I'm going, but you should buy yourself something more healthy. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Funny how we become very critical of others' actions and become blind to our own. And there's a lot more to what I'm saying here than just the chips. So she finally started putting some healthier stuff up. Then we come past another aisle and it was a pet aisle. And she said, do you mind if I buy something for my dog? Now, those of you who know me know that I am not a pet person. I don't like cats, and I definitely don't like dogs. There are some people here that have some issues. You're going to have more issues with me as I keep going along this story. Now, I am having, when she talked to me about buying something for her dog, I was like, what are you talking about? If you haven't got money for yourself, what are you doing with a pet? And everything inside of me, I'm having a conflict of culture. And the Holy Spirit, like he does, doesn't stop talking to us. And he's there, is this about you or is this about her needs? And knowing people, all my staff in Melbourne all had dogs. Didn't know why. A lot of my friends all have dogs. I don't get it. My auntie, who was 93, who just passed away, she had dogs and cats because she was lonely. And that dog gave her incredible comfort and joy. Be careful when God asks you to do something that you put your cultural thinking or your own needs or your own wants on what a person needs. Anyway, we got through that, got through the checkout. I paid for her and she said, I thank you so much. I pulled out my card and said, look, if you need anything, please, you know, reach out, you know. She goes, I said, I'm actually a minister from a church. When I said that, she went cold. She had told me a lot about her life in a few short minutes. She said, are you going to judge me for what I've told you? I said, love, I'm not here to judge you, neither's God. Actually, God loves you. And I hope in this small way, you will see the love of God. Do you know, I never heard back from this lady. I don't know what happened to her. But here's one thing. Don't do things when the Holy Spirit puts on your heart to do things just because you're going to get results. We're not results orientated. We are people orientated. And every person is on a journey. Don't let that be. Because sometimes you need to know something. God looks at the motive of our heart. It's really important to understand that. Just so you know that I'm normal. I had this happen to me again. I was coming out of our national office, down the steps. There was this young lady. It was a Friday. She had curlers in her hair. I knew she'd come out. I'd watched her come out of the office and she was working in an office. She had curlers in her hair and I thought, oh, she must be a Liverpoolian. She must be from Liverpool because part of the culture over there, do we have someone from Liverpool over there? Yeah, Liverpoolians. It's cultural. They call them scousers. It's cultural on Friday that girls go to work with rollers in their hair. Yeah, I'd put rollers in my hair. Do I got no hair to put rollers in? And because they get ready for party night, Friday night. So she's sitting there and I'm thinking, she's a scouser. She's from Liverpool. And I felt the Holy Spirit pull. Just go talk to her and let that be the beginning of the conversation. I didn't. I walked away. Now I don't feel condemned about it. But I just wonder if I'd engaged in the conversation. I just wonder if we would hear and listen to what God's telling us, and if we would look and see. I wonder what would happen. As we come to this Christmas, I pray that this will be something that will stir your heart. Let me finish with these three quick slides. Three movies that changed society and reached the heartbeat of a society. Number one was Saving Private Ryan. What an incredible film. I'll never forget sitting in the theatre and the reality of those bullets. I'll never forget it. I had to close my eyes. I thought, oh, man, this gives us a different side of war. About a mission to save one brother. Because others had been lost. It reminds me of Luke chapter 15. Look for the one leaving the 99 looking for the one. Here's the second one. This one ripped my heart out, Schindler's List. Man, were these just movies, or was there something that sometimes God uses to bring us into reality of what we need to be aware of? And I'll never forget that last scene with Liam Neeson when he's looking at his watch and he said, how many souls, how many people could I save with this? How many people could I save with that? What is the value of a soul? What's a soul worth? Here's the third one, Hacksaw Ridge. Man, talk about courage, talking about faith, talking about conviction. When I watched this movie, which Desmond Doss acted so well in, do you know we get caught up in fighting the enemy in so many ways? You know the best way to fight the enemy? Win souls. Sometimes you're in the battle. If you take your focus off yourself and focus on others, you watch the battle turn. Is that okay? Are we all good? Can I tell you one last story? I've gone over time, I know I have. There was a young lady in our church that her father had been saved for about 10 years and she refused to come, but I was told she was in church this particular Sunday and there was a real buzz around her. And they asked, after the service, they said to me, Pastor, would you please come and pray for her? I said, oh, wow, okay, so what's the situation? I went there, and the reason she'd come to church after the father had pleaded her for 10 years, the reason that brought her to church was a need. It was a great need. She had just been diagnosed with a tumour in the brain. How many of you know that changes your life? When I went there, she was emotional. Her father was emotional. And even in that moment of incredible stress and just heartbreak, young lady, only had one child at the time, young couple, refused to come to church. And then this, aren't you glad that at least people know there's hope in Jesus Christ? And she came. And as I'm just about to pray for her, I notice the lady in our church is sitting behind her. Her name was Cheryl. The amazing thing about it is that a year before this, Cheryl had been diagnosed with brain tumour. She was sitting right behind her. And the operation had been successful. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and says, get Cheryl to pray for her. It was a spot. God had ordained the spot. Isn't it amazing that God is strategically working behind the scenes, creating spots for us to respond to as ambassadors? Cheryl, who knew the pain of the journey, is hugging this girl, kissing her, starts praying. And she prayed with authority. Because when you go through something like that, let me tell you, you get authority when you come through the fire. She's praying with her and they're crying and they're hugging and it was like a God moment. It was a spot, spiritual place of transformation. Cheryl goes, who's your doctor? She told her and she goes, that was my doctor. Do you know, hope started rising up. The girl's name's Jade. Jade had the operation about 5 years ago and came through with flying colours. She was told she was never going to have children again and shouldn't have children. Well, she's got four now. Let me tell you, God is at work. He wants to do miracles. You and me are the connectors. I don't know why God's chosen it that way. I wouldn't have. We are his connectors. But would we look and see? And we'll be here and listen. There's something fresh of the Holy Spirit that's happening, and I don't even like the word evangelism. I'd rather use the word connecting. We're connecting people back to the Father heart of God. Would you stand to your feet with me? Would you lift your hands today and say, Pastor, today, I just want to acknowledge that, Lord, here I am, use me. Isaiah, who shall I send? Whom shall I send? I don't know what your world's looking like at the moment. I don't know how busy you are. I don't know how stressed you are. I don't know what's happening. But just for a moment, just today, let's be reminded that it's all about people. The reason I told you this story, because you can start looking and listening with people that are just in your row today. Sometimes we miss the most obvious. People are going to come through these doors and they're going to sit in certain places, and the Holy Spirit could speak to you. They could be in your row. Even as you walk out of here today, don't walk out too fast. I know some of you might have appointments saying, Pastor, you've gone way too long. But just for a moment, would you lift your hands? Say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. I want to refocus. Particularly as we come into this sensitive time where even secular people are going to sing songs of worship. They might not come from their heart, but this is a sensitive time. I know that secularism and socialism is trying to shut down the gospel, but let me tell you, darkness cannot shut down light. It just takes a little light. Just takes a little light. All you have to do is just shine your light. Holy Spirit, I don't know. All I know is you ask us to be available. Right now, I just wonder if you take one hand and put it on one of your ears and one hand on your eyes. Say, Holy Spirit, help me to listen and help me to see. Father, we thank you right now. Father, let us listen. Let us see. People are all around us. Around family tables. Lord, there could be children that need to be ministered to these next couple of weeks. It could be people, our neighbours. Could people we meet, people shopping. Thank you, Lord. You create those spots. Help us to be sensitive to them. Come on, lift your hands now. Holy Spirit, say, I'm available today. I'm available today. I'm available today. I open my heart afresh to your purpose and to your plan.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message this week.